Jess Curtis seemed to have motherhood figured out. With her pre-Raphaelite copper curls and natural confidence, she had moved everyone at their prenatal class years ago when she declared her unborn son would be the center of my world. But on a rainy January night, this image shatters when Jess arrives at the emergency room with her 10-month-old daughter Betsy, who has a suspicious skull fracture. What's more alarming to pediatrician Liz Trenchard, Jess's friend of a decade, is the six-hour delay before seeking medical attention and Jess's evasiveness about how the injury occurred. The once plump, glowing mother now appears gaunt and anxious, claiming not to have noticed the injury until Liz pointed it out. When consultant Neil Cockerill notes that the fracture is consistent with a baby being slammed down on a changing table, Liz faces an impossible choice: protect her friend or fulfill her professional duty to report suspected abuse. This moment forces everyone to confront uncomfortable truths about motherhood, friendship, and the secrets we keep, even from ourselves. "Shh, it's okay, baby. Mummy's here now." These words reveal the desperation of an exhausted mother trying to soothe her colicky infant who's been crying for 8 weeks straight. Despite trying everything, vacuum noise, white noise, washing machine rhythms, nothing calms the baby with livid eyes and an arching, rage-filled body. Through Jess's perspective, we witness terrifying thoughts. When Betsy throws food to the floor, Jess loses control, seeing her twisted face in the mirror with horror. Most disturbing are her intrusive thoughts, imagining slapping Betsy or flinging her against the marble mantelpiece. These dark impulses aren't unique. Liz's mother had similar thoughts with tragic consequences, confessing to killing Liz's baby sister Claire, "I just wanted to make her stop." Society's idealization of motherhood intensifies the shame. Jess maintains an image as the perfect mother while secretly battling postpartum anxiety and maternal OCD. Her safety rituals, removing knives, triple sterilizing bottles, repeatedly disinfecting, reveal the exhausting vigilance of a mother terrified she might harm her child. For Liz, the emergency room has always been a place of clarity. Symptoms lead to diagnoses, protocols dictate actions. But when Jess arrives with injured baby Betsy, these boundaries blur painfully. As she examines the infant's skull, feeling the telltale trauma, Liz's medical training and personal loyalties wage war within her. "I don't want to suspect my friend," she reflects while reviewing her safeguarding checklist. Yet evidence mounts. Jess's delayed reporting, evasiveness, and inconsistency between the described accident and the trauma's severity. When consultant Neil questions whether this is a child protection issue, Liz initially defends Jess. But Neil's reminder of her previous misdiagnosis strikes at her professional insecurity, publicly challenging her judgment during handover. Though reluctant, Liz ultimately contacts social services, feeling the weight of betrayal. This dilemma mirrors the novel's central question: what happens when personal knowledge conflicts with objective evidence? In choosing professional duty over friendship, she sets in motion a painful unraveling of their relationship. Motherhood has become a performance demanding perfection while offering minimal support. Jess embodies this contradiction, presenting a flawless exterior while internally crumbling under impossible standards. Her immaculate home with meticulously folded baby clothes masks her battle with intrusive thoughts. Ed's discovery reveals the truth. The nursery was pristine, yet Betsy was abandoned, overheated, and sobbing with a soaked nappy. Appearance prioritized over authentic well-being. The prenatal group functions as a microcosm of maternal judgment, with each woman representing different approaches to motherhood and their subtle competitions. The novel contrasts Jess's experience with Liz's mother a generation earlier. Both suffered from maternal mental illness, but while Jess eventually receives diagnosis and treatment, Liz's mother received none, highlighting both progress in recognizing maternal mental health and persistent stigma. Through Jess's therapy sessions, Vaughn offers glimpses of healing, suggesting true support begins with honesty about parenthood's complex emotions. At its heart, Little Disasters explores secrets we keep from others and ourselves. Each family harbors destructive truths, threatening their carefully constructed lives. For Jess and Ed, Betsy's injury reveals deeper issues. Jess's postpartum anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and Ed's emotional distance. When Ed discovers Jess's alarming searches, "Why do I want to harm my baby?" he confronts the possibility his wife might be capable of violence. The Curtis family's secrets include son Frankie, whose outburst, "It's all my fault she's going to prison," reveals he's been protecting his mother after an accident during her absence. Liz's family secrets span generations. Her alcoholic mother concealed a horrific truth. She killed Liz's baby sister years earlier, forcing Liz to recognize patterns of abuse she had normalized. Charlotte's seemingly perfect family hides her 20-year obsession with Ed and her role in Betsy's injury. Her manipulation of Frankie shows how far she'll go to protect herself. Vaughn demonstrates how families become complicit in maintaining false narratives, with children protecting parents, spouses ignoring warning signs, and women suffering in isolation. The central mystery, how Betsy sustained her skull fracture, unravels in layers, transforming our understanding of each character. What initially appears as maternal abuse proves far more complex. When Frankie breaks down during Liz's visit, he reveals the shocking truth. Jess wasn't even present when Betsy was hurt. This confirms Liz's suspicion that Jess has been protecting her son all along. Through flashbacks, we learn that Jess, overwhelmed, had left her children alone to get milk, promising to return in 5 minutes, but staying away for 13. During this absence, Charlotte arrived to check on them. Finding Frankie alone with a crying Betsy, Charlotte offered help. When she called Jess a naughty mummy, Frankie defended his mother and shoved Charlotte, causing Betsy to fall from the changing table. Charlotte blamed Frankie and coached him to lie, warning that Jess would go to prison if anyone learned she'd left them alone. This revelation recontextualizes everything. Jess protecting both Frankie and herself, Charlotte's false concern masking her role, and Frankie's distress from carrying such a secret. Little Disasters celebrates the courage required to face frightening impulses while still choosing love. Through its exploration of maternal mental illness, broken friendships, and family secrets, the novel reveals that true strength comes from acknowledging our capacity for darkness while choosing light. Jess exemplifies this courage. Despite experiencing terrifying, intrusive thoughts about harming Betsy, she never acts on them. Her safety rituals protect her child, and she leaves that night to remove herself from a situation where she fears losing control. When Jess discovers Liz's mother smothered baby Claire, she realizes her intrusive thoughts don't define her. Her honest admission to another mother, "Not brilliant, but I hope I'm going to get there," shows the bravery of acknowledging struggles rather than maintaining a facade of perfection. The novel challenges simplistic portrayals of motherhood by showing how good mothers can harbor dark thoughts and loving families can hide secrets. Our capacity for darkness doesn't negate our capacity for love. It simply makes us human.